Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello and welcome to Digest This. I'm Tina Nunziato and with me is Dr. Liz Cruz. Welcome everyone. Welcome Dr. Cruz to your show.
Thank you.
And for those of you that are avid listeners of Digest This, you know that when Tina starts a show, it's time for another GI focus. So Dr. Cruz, it's been a while since we've done a GI focus.
It has. I think this is our first for 2018.
I know. I've had it on our list to do it for the last like three or four podcasts, but we've had other topics to talk about, so which is nice actually to have requests from people and things happening in our life that requires us to
keep sending those requests.
Yeah, to talk about. So SIBO, Dr. Cruz, this is a big. It's kind of people are probably getting to know about SIBO a little bit. It's been more in the news lately,
right?
From what I've seen, it's becoming kind of a more popular term, and I have had patients ask me about SIBO. So that's when you know, like, that it's getting out there when people
are they
like,
saying it like that, SIBO?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say SIBO.
With small intestinal bacterial overgrowth?
Well, yeah, so that
or
was...
Or do they say that?
No. They say SIBO.
They do.
Because
okay.
It's a little bit less of a mouthful than the actual term. So what I was going to ask you to do was actually say what SIBO stands for, which you already done that. But you can say it again.
Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth.
Small intestine bacterial overgrowth. Just going to say it slowly so everyone could get it because it's a mouthful.
It is.
Yes. So tell me in typical GI focus fashion, what is SIBO?
So basically it's overgrowth of bacteria in the small intestine. So I mean the small intestine already has a ton of bacteria.
Yeah, trillions.
Trillions of bacteria. Yeah. SIBO is where you have overgrowth of bacteria specifically, and this is getting a little more more on the microbiologist type terms, but where you have overgrowth of aerobic and anaerobic bacteria that typically are in the colon.
Okay.
All right.
Because there's different bacteria.
There are.
That sit throughout the whole GI tract.
Exactly.
And what's amazing to me, and learning more about the GI tract, learning how there, first of all, there's different sections of the GI tract that absorb different vitamins and minerals. So,
right.
Like, there's different sections of your small bowel, different sections of your colon that absorb certain nutrients, which to me is amazing. And then there's also certain sections of the small bowel and the colon that house certain bacteria.
Right.
And they have a special function, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just... What a like dynamic environment in there, right?
I know. It's amazing. Crazy. I mean, it's crazy that our body is the home for all these bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, that's just, to me, it is, it has amazed me that our bodies, I mean, you know, that's why people get infections. We get pneumonias, we get urinary tract infections, we get skin infections. I mean, and it's not surprising because we have so many bacteria in our body. You know, and granted, you know, a lot of that bacteria is supposed to be there and has a function, but we are basically the home for the bacteria. And it's crazy that we don't get more infections than
well, because
we
you've
do.
Got the good bacteria
exactly
as well as the bad bacteria,
and hopefully we have intact immune systems to keep things in balance.
Right. So someone that has SIBO, what do they typically present with? What are the symptoms of people that have SIBO?
I would say the most common things that we see are gas, abdominal bloating, flatulence, could have diarrhea, but that would be the most common thing that we see. You know, people coming in and they're just like, you know, they're so bloated. I mean, some of them feel like they're 9 months pregnant from being so bloated.
And how do you diagnose something like SIBO?
SIBO can be diagnosed by a simple breath test. It's called a carbohydrate breath test. And it's basically a test where they give you a solution of either like glucose or lactulose, and then you're gonna measure the production of hydrogen or methane from bacteria to help you determine if you have an overproduction of these, which is gonna help you determine if you have an overgrowth of these bacteria.
Okay.
So it's a breath test. And that's, you know, basically how you can diagnose it. for us out in the community, some of us don't have that breath test available to us. And so one way to do, so really the one of the common ways that we do it is really by just kind of, you know, a diagnosis of exclusion where we've done a workup, we've ruled out other stuff, and you know, and we feel that maybe this person has some things that could predispose them to SIBO, and we make the diagnosis, the empiric diagnosis, mm-hmm. like, I really feel that this is what you have. I'm going to give you a course of treatment, and let's see how you do.
So this breath test is different than the H. pylori breath test.
Yes, this is a different breath test.
But it's something similar?
Something similar, okay. Yeah.
And why, what, like, why, like, we could we not send them for that test to a lab?
You know, as far as I know, it's not widely available at the labs. Mm-hmm. I may be wrong. Okay. I mean, the last time I checked into it, it wasn't.
Okay.
But I don't know, we need to probably check again and see if it is something that is now available. And it's probably something that can be, you can probably purchase the analyzer mm-hmm. and just like right. we've been
looking at for
yeah,
H. pylori.
Looking for H. pylori and run it right in our office, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a simple breath test.
But it's not something you can see in a colonoscopy or in some type of imaging test.
No,
or
no.
Like
well,
that.
Another actually, that's I'm glad you brought up that point because another way would also be to do a count of the bacteria, where you actually literally get some aspirate or liquid from the jejunum. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the small intestine, you know, it's about 20, 22 feet long. Mm-hmm. The first part of it is called the duodenum, and then very quickly becomes the jejunum, mm-hmm. okay? And in the jejunum, if you can get some aspirate or some of that liquid and then send it to the lab for them to do counts. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a certain criteria or certain reference range that they use to determine like, oh, this is a higher count than there should be
okay.
in this area. And so that's also a way of making the diagnosis. Okay. For that, I mean, you probably would have to do an endoscopy though and go in there and get some
You can go that far aspirin. With the endoscopy? You can get
if you use a longer scope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so... how do people get SIBO? Like how does the bacteria get into the small intestine when it shouldn't be there?
You know, there's a lot of different things that can predispose people to SIBO. You know, there can be alteration. I mean, I think the more common things are problems with the motility of the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's one thing.
Meaning slow motility.
Slow
stuff's
motility.
Stuff's not moving through as quickly
right.
as it should.
So motility problems. Also chronic pancreatitis can mm-hmm. also predispose people to it, but a host of all sorts of things. I mean, people with cirrhosis, people with end-stage kidney disease, people who have diverticulosis in the small intestine, mm-hmm. okay? Because it's very common to have diverticulosis in the colon, but you can also get diverticulosis, which are the little pockets
right.
in the small intestine.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I'll see, when I do an upper endoscopy, I'll see it in the duodenum, which again is the beginning mm-hmm. of the small intestine. Mm-hmm. So who knows if that person has more diverticula further down the intestine. Mm-hmm. You know, people that are on certain medications, people who have Crohn's disease, people, I mean,
so these are sick people.
Yeah.
So,
but no, they don't even
but
have
not
to be sick. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, okay. it could just be someone who's had, I mean, alteration of their motility for one reason or another. I mean, we've seen SIBO even in people that are quote, relatively healthy,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe they had some sort of an infection at some point, or maybe they've been on some medicines mm-hmm. or
just
you
through,
know.
It just throws the body off.
It just throws the body
so
off.
So whether you're really sick and you've got a disease state in the body that could be throwing the body off
right.
or, you know, just any interaction with a drug or having a sickness that could
mm-hmm.
throw the body off could
Absolutely.
Cause that imbalance.
Absolutely.
Basically. Okay.
Right.
And so once it's diagnosed, what do you do for it? What's the treatment?
The treatment is typically antibiotic.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically an antibiotic that you'll give them for about 7 to 10 days. And you can, you know, if that person has recurrence of their symptoms, you know, especially like within 3 months, you can retreat them. you know, if they continue to have symptoms, you know, you need to evaluate for other things. Mm-hmm. Okay. You need to make sure that there's not something else going on. Another thing I wanted to mention as far as people that can get SIBO, also people who have had who've had surgeries. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So where their gut's been opened.
Right, where their gut has been rerouted. You know, maybe they've had part of their intestine removed and now things have been there's shortening of it or there's some rerouting of the intestine. That mm-hmm. also can predispose them to it. But anyways, getting back to the treatment is typically a course of antibiotics.
Okay.
A course or courses of antibiotics.
Okay. And then, that's my next question. Like, is it a long course of antibiotics that they have to be on for how long?
Like seven
typically?
To 10 days.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
typical.
7 to 10 days. Okay. And, there's probably going to be a need for repeating it again, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember when I was in training, one of the attendings I worked with had a lot of patients with this and would just like cycle them. Like, every few months, you know.
They come back for more antibiotics?
Well, if they were symptomatic, okay. if they had symptoms, you know, he would treat them again. Mm-hmm. But it's, again, you have to make sure that there's not other stuff going on, mm-hmm. you know. The other treatment for these people is that they can get like vitamin deficiencies, like vitamin B12. You've got to check them for deficiencies and replete the deficiencies. Mm-hmm. Vitamin B12 is one of the big ones. You want to work them up and, you know, you probably end up scoping these people, doing an endoscopy and a colonoscopy, and the majority of these people are going to have normal findings, mm-hmm. you know. But you definitely want to rule out other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And so it is common that it does come back. So that's a question I know I usually ask.
Yes.
So
yes.
if you're susceptible to it the first time, you could probably get it again and again.
Right, because it depends what your underlying predisposing mm-hmm. issue is. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why you have to, you know, that. I mean, for example, if it's somebody with chronic pancreatitis, that chronic pancreatitis isn't going to go away.
Right. Right.
You know. So. Yeah. You know, those are things that, I mean, you've got to be treating that as well. I mean, these people with chronic pancreatitis, they need to be on digestive enzymes.
Right. And what about probiotics? I mean, you're mentioning, you know, rounds of antibiotics, and, you know, we always talk about probiotics with that. What role do probiotics play with SIBO?
That's a great question, because I think at this point there's a lot of, I think the jury is out mm-hmm. as far as with in regards to like our GI, our gastrointestinal literature goes. It's a little bit controversial. I mean, personally, my personal opinion on it is that these people would benefit from planting mm-hmm. good bacteria into their intestine. So,
but the GI journals basically say there's already too much bacteria. Why put more, right?
Yeah, it's controversial. Honestly, they're not sure what, you know, what the benefit of it is, if there's benefit. I personally would think that there's benefit from mm-hmm. it. And also I've seen it in some of my patients, mm-hmm. you know, that I've treated with antibiotic, but at the same time put them on some probiotics. Mm-hmm. I think that I've been able to hold them off longer from having a recurrence of their symptoms by keeping them on probiotics.
Right.
So that's my personal take on mm-hmm. it, just from my experience.
Well, but thank you also for bringing up the GI journal part. I appreciate
that.
That's
very important.
I know how important that is to you.
Very.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, doctors. Anything else about SIBO that you'd like to mention before we wrap up this podcast?
No, but it's very possible I may think of something when we're done with the podcast.
We can bring it up on the next podcast.
Okay.
Excellent.
Sounds good.
Thank you all so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to catching you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.